This is your host, Jason Snurgrove, and I will be your guide as we journey down the road to pleasure hunt or hitting the long trail to those great cob hunts. This is the Coonhound Collective Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Coonhound Collective Podcast today. I am joined by my co-host once again, Brett Big Money Stevens.
What do you keep calling me that for?
Well, hey, one day you're going to make it big and you'll have big money.
Okay. And, one day.
And when you do, I'm on that.
Then I don't have that name.
No. We're going to put that name down the sleeve of your jacket. Big money.
You're an idiot.
All right. We're gonna read the. I have a few Apple reviews on my deal here, and we're gonna read those. And if you don't care, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple, go down to the bottom, give us a 5-star review, and just drop a few lines, and we're gonna start reading these. We'll read these on air. If you're listening on Spotify, there's a place where you can rate the show. Go there or whatever you're listening on. See if there's a place to rate the show, and go down there and leave us a review or a rating or whatever you can. But Brett's going to read these few reviews we got here, and we'll be caught up, and we'll try to stay on top of them as they come in.
Yeah, we got a few here. You do. This one here is C-Ship 1083. Great podcast, it says. Excellent podcast with great interviews. I'm hoping Jason will fire it back up and put out some more shows.
We're fired up. Yeah, we're fired up. We got some good ones.
Got a bunch of coffee in us. And
yeah, we are. We got a bunch of coffee
in us. This has got your six. I feel like I can go till 6 in the morning. That stuff's something else.
Yeah.
Here's another one here from Wayne Musgrave. Just listen to this show. Great interview. Thanks for taking the time to make the show. It makes the work week go by a little quicker. Here's one from Squirrel Doggin. This is a great, wholesome, family-based podcast. 5-star review. Looks like all these are 5-star reviews.
That's what we after, 5 stars.
Yeah. Okay, got another one here. 5-star review from Ginger Billy. Says, awesome podcast. Jason is the man.
Y'all
keep
right
up the great. Nah, I'm joking about that one. got one here. Says this is from Keen's Big Moose. Awesome podcast. Keep up the great work. Them's all 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Appreciate those.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Everybody that's left a review, appreciate it. If you could, make sure you stop what you're doing. Unless you're driving, don't stop in the middle of the road. Don't look down at your phone right now, matter of fact, if you're driving. But if you're at work or something, you can stop that. Leave us a 5-star review. Drop a line or two. One of us will read it on the podcast here in the upcoming weeks as we record. We got, I don't know, Brett got like a half of a encyclopedia book. People may not know what that is anymore.
No, Google.
Half of
Google took over encyclopedia.
Yeah, that took like a whole, when the salesman come around with that big old box encyclopedia, that took all that. You remember that? Did you ever remember the salesman coming around with encyclopedias?
They never made it down to my house.
You live too far out.
Are you kidding? You live in the middle of nowhere.
When I was a kid, the salesman come around and they'd have one or two books in their hand. They'd come to the door, knock on the door, and say, "We're here selling encyclopedias." And my granny bought every one they come around. We had encyclopedias for days. That was Google.
Yeah, we had them, but I don't think they come from a
door-to-door
salesman.
I sold vacuum cleaners like that. That was my first job.
Really?
Door-to-door sales and vacuum cleaners.
Hey, that's funny. You know, they was a...
And I was good at it.
They was a door-to-door salesman come to Russ Jones's house one time, and I was over there You about spit your coffee out. What's so funny?
Because you said door-to-door salesman at Russ Jones. I can only imagine.
Well, true story. I got to tell this. You made me think of that. They'd set up this appointment. This guy was selling windows. And he had this little stand. And it unfolded, you know, like a briefcase. And he set it up. And he had these different little models set up there. And I just happened to go over there to visit or something. We was going to coon hunt or something. And Russ was like, well, come on over. But wife's got this guy coming to give this demonstration, trying to sell us a bunch of windows. And I was like, whatever. So I went over there, and they just got done eating. This guy showed up, and and I'm just sitting there listening along, and he's giving this demonstration, telling how this window open and fold and stuff. And he goes, it's even got, it's high-tech security too. He said, you can, if you crack this window up a certain height or whatever, he said, you can leave it open and it's locked. Nobody can still can't get in there. He said, there's no possible way for you to open it up. Well, when he said that, I was like, I looked at that and I turned my head sideways a few times and I thought, this guy is full of it. And Russ was watching me and he could see the look on my face. And I went over there and I said, there ain't no way. I said, that person could get into that easy. And, he said, No, it's, you can't get in it. It's high tech security, you know, whatever. If you crack it, you just can't do it. And I said, oh, okay. So I just walked over there. I run my hand up in through there and I just popped one side, popped the other side with the deal, and I opened the window. And his eyes got about that big. And that Russ died laughing. And he kind of quit and kind of felt bad, you know, for the guy, but. I mean, I rent that guy's sale. I bet he wanted to kill me.
Oh, I bet.
Jerk. I come all the way down here and drove out here in the middle of nowhere trying to sell however many $1,000 worth of windows. And yeah, he probably didn't like that too good.
So Russ didn't buy the windows?
I don't remember if he did. I don't think he did.
He should have bought one just feeling sorry for the guy.
Yeah. I kind of felt bad later. I knocked him out of a sale.
I sold vacuum cleaners door to door. When I first got out of high school.
Them rainbows?
No. Electrolux.
Electrolux. Huh.
Yeah. They were great.
I think they had a vacuum salesman come over there one time I was there, too.
At Russ's house?
Yeah.
Did he live where he lives now?
His wife get him in all kinds of messes and steals like that. She couldn't tell him no.
He lives where he lives now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was in his other house before he built the new house.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else you got?
Anyways.
That's it?
I don't know.
You got all, that's all the stories you got?
Yeah, that's all I got about. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got in that window, though. I was pretty proud of it, but I did feel bad for that guy. I don't think they bought him.
Well, if you need to see if your house secure, call Brett Stevens.
Nah, I don't try to get in people's windows now.
He can check your windows and make sure. Okay, what's the hot topic for tonight?
I don't know if we got it. I thought you had a hot topic.
I thought we was going to talk about wall curves.
How do you spell that?
WALCURS. Wall curves.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. You doing all right?
Oh yeah, just a little wore out. We've been out scouting for turkeys tonight. We literally just walked in the door, and
dang, gotcha.
We're gonna see if we can put one on the dirt in the morning.
Cool. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be opening day tomorrow, and I got Brett Stevens with me, and he's going to try to call one in for my daughter. We'll see if we can get one killed.
Nice. How long is y'all's turkey season?
Turkey season is 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Ours is about over here. We got one more week.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 3 weeks, and I think you can hunt all day on private land now this year.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you're live. Yeah, and Brett's here with us. He was trying to get some liquid in him. We've been walking.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
We literally got sweat dripping off us still.
I did something rare. But it's the first time I played in about a year and a half. I went and played golf today. I didn't wear any sunscreen. And I forgot how hot the Florida sun is. So I've got a golf fan out of the room.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I bet I think I did. Did you post a picture or something this morning?
Yeah. My golf bag out there. I'm hurting. I'm going to be hurting in the morning. The golf, I forgot. Use all these muscles you never use. Be hurting in the morning.
Yeah. Well, we'll get going so we don't have to hold you on here no longer than we have to. I do appreciate you joining us. And then we're just going to try to cover, you know, like I said, hunt lights, tracking systems, and thermals. And
yeah,
I know y'all sell a lot of them, so
yeah,
you probably have an idea what people are buying, and in your own opinions too. And we have ours, so we'll get rolling here and get talking about it here, so you can kind of get rested up for tomorrow.
That sounds good.
Welcome to the Coonhound Collective podcast tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk coon hunting lights, tracking systems, and some thermals. And me and Brett's going to give our opinions, but we have an expert witness with us, I think, Zachary Conkey from Conkey Outdoors. How's it going tonight?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good. Glad to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I know this is something that's, you know, I'm sure you're on social media, Zach, and you see a lot of people, you know, they're on there asking, you know, hey, what's the best light? What's the best tracking system? What's the best thermal? And I thought, well, who better than to shed some light on some of this than somebody that sells them and deals with them every day? And I went on y'all's website, and y'all sell a plethora of lights. It's a bunch.
Yeah. We try to sell everything we can, just to give people choices. And I do see that question all the time. Everyone's asking, what's the best light? Well, all the lights nowadays, I mean, they're all really good. I mean, even the ones we don't sell, there's some good lights out there. And really it's about finding one that's right for you. But you know, out of all three of the ones we sell, the main brands, you know, you got Razor, you got Sunspot, and you got Bright Eyes. Those three, probably they're the top of the line lights we sell.
Yeah.
You know, and then Tall Timber, we just started selling them. Rob Giddings up in Michigan, he builds those. We've been selling for about a year, and he's got some great options for kids, and, he 3D prints the heads on them, so they're super lightweight. Like I was saying, if I start rambling, you got to stop me, but
no, you go ahead.
I could talk about lights all day, but, you know, the big difference between the big three lights I mentioned, you know, you got the Sunspot Copperheads, the newest Rave, out there. And then you have the Bright Eyes Heatseeker Pro and the Razor Z1.
Yep.
It's really about preference. So, you know, when people call, they say, well, which light's the best? And I say, well, you know, are you comfortable with a certain brand or what are you looking for? And the main question I ask, do you want the switch on the front of the head or the back of the head? What color beam do you want? Do you want more of a bright white? Do you want a natural? So, you know, if they say, hey, I want a natural light, I like the yellowish tint, you know, the old school feel, I kind of, you know, lean them towards the copperhead because that's what it's got. And it's super bright. It's got all the bells and whistles, you know, the red, the amber, the laser. If they say, I want a bright white light, you know, I point them towards the Bright Eyes Heatseeker Pro because that's what you're getting. You know, it's really, and it's got all the bells and whistles too. And then the Razor light, Johnny Watkins, he's pretty much designed that. It's a really solid coon hunt light too. And where it stands out is it's got, you know, the beam color on it is more between like that yellowish and then the bright white. It's a true natural, I'd say.
Yeah.
And how he's got it set up, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people don't think about this, but when you walk into a tree in a competition hunt, first thing you do is everybody wants to look at it with red. So how he's built is, you know, when you click forward, you go to red. When you go on forward, then you go to your main beam. So he's designed it to where you're not flipping through lights and everything to try to, you know, get to that red or get to that main beam. So, but all three of those lights, I don't think I've ever had anybody say, I can't stand, you know, this light.
Right.
But, you know, we sell a Cajun, the Blinder. It's a great light too. A lot of people love it. But it's really like Coke and Pepsi. You know, there's so many great lights out there. And we make sure to find people that stand behind their lights too. So if you have a problem down the road, they're going to fix it. But.
Yeah. Well, I'm a sunspot guy. I just, that's what I started with after I went from a belt light, and I really like the sunspot for sure.
Zach, who'd you say made that razor? I thought that was a private label light maybe, but I guess not, huh?
Yeah, so it actually changed hands with this Z1. I mentioned Tall Timber earlier. Yeah. So, you know, Johnny Watkins kind of spearheaded this thing, and Rob Giddings up in Michigan, who builds the Tall Timbers, he's building the Z1 now.
Okay.
And, you know, it's got that real nice big switch on it that he has. I mean, it's the Tall Timber lights that he has out, the Mark II and the Mark I, if they had a laser, they'd be about perfect too. So, but he stands behind his light, and we really enjoy working with him too.
So do you see a lot of difference in burn time and stuff on it? Which, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the last time I had a light go dead on me, to be honest with you. So I don't know that. I know a lot of people ask that question about burn time, but I know my sunspot, I try to charge it every time, but I don't always charge it. I have one that I kind of use around the house here, and I just kind of charge it as I feel like it needs it, but I've still never had it go dead.
Yeah. And, you know, all these lights, I'll say this, and I didn't mention this brand, but the false light, I'd say that's probably one of the more durable lights out there. That thing, you don't have to charge that thing for 15 years. I swear we got a light that we didn't charge for 15 years. But as far as the burn time, I mean, you're going to get through it early in a late round. You know, I'm awful at charging stuff. There's a joke, ongoing joke called the Conky No Charge, and it's my grandfather. He's bad about charging stuff. I'm bad about charging stuff. And I'll say this, you know, they all, I've not really had one go dead on me in the woods. So I put them all in my head, taking them out. We've worn them out, you know, really put them to the test. And you know, some of them are promising 100 hours on low setting. Most of them are between 4 and 7 hours on the high setting. If you walk around with your highest main beam on, which nobody does, you know, you're going to get a whole night out of it. So early, late, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I know the lights have changed a lot. I've still got a Prowler belt light from back in the day. And I've actually had that one go dead on me before. But these newer lights, I've never had them go dead.
Yeah. And I actually made a bad prediction. About a year ago, I was sitting there and they're talking about all these new lights that are coming out. I said, the only way I think they could put more power in these lights is, you know, the battery's not going to be as good or they're going to be heavier. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. All these lights that they've come out with are lighter than some of the lights, you know, a couple of years ago. And, the battery life, there's no problem with any of them.
Yeah, I haven't got the new Copperhead, but I seen a guy had one. It looks like the battery box on the back, or the little box that's on the back of the helmet, looks like it's a little bit smaller than like the Extreme Rage or the other that Sunspot, what is it, Pro? Is that what it was, the other one they came out with?
Viper Pro, and then they got the Sniper and I'm a Sunspot guy too. I had the Sniper and that, you know, the switch was on the back and kind of balanced things and really lightweight. And the only thing it lacked, it didn't have like an amber laser. And I dropped it in the swamp and stomped on it. And of course they fixed it. They got a lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
So I went to the Viper Pro and I don't have a Copperhead myself. As fast as they come in, we send them out the door. So
yeah.
I'm making sure all the customers have theirs before I can even get one and use it as my permanent light. But that battery box on that Copperhead, it's smaller. They made it thinner. And I think Johnny Dalton or Michael Roseman, I can't remember, one of them posted a picture of the inside of it, and it's really impressive. How they got it all. It's not like crammed in there. So,
huh.
I can't build a lot. I don't know all the technology in it.
Yeah.
But I know it's they do a good job with it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've rambled for about 10 minutes here about lights. Let's talk about thermals. I got my thermal from you and we actually was using it this evening and a little bit, and I really like it. It took me a little while to kind of figure out how to use it. But I really, in the end, I ended up liking it. I kind of figured out how to use it, what setting works best for me and where I'm at. But just talk about thermals from entry level to, you know, the bigger thermals that you carry.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll start out saying this, you know, the only thermal we sell is the AGM brand. It seems to be the most popular with coon hunters. I know some people use the Pulsar and some of these other brands out there. And I've looked through a $10,000 thermal before, and it was the most amazing thing I ever seen. But, you know, the average coon hunter, including myself, can't pay $10,000 for a thermal. So, you know, AGM, the best part about them, customer service, you got a problem, you call them, they'll basically send you a new one. 5-year warranty on all these thermals I'm going to talk about, but it's kind of one of those things too. There's, you know, people ask, what's the best thermal? Well, it's more about what the best thermal is for you, right? So I'll say this first, there's not a perfect one. There's some things they could do to build a perfect one, but I don't think, you know, sadly, coon hunters not the top of their list as far as, you know, what they're putting out there. They're putting out stuff for the military and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, the entry level, the lowest I'd go would probably be the Thai Pantene 15-384. It has the 5-year warranty, like I said. It's got a really nice field of view. When we first started using these things, it blew our mind, you know. And we found a lot more coons than we ever thought we would. We were shooting in the trees that we would see the heat of the coon, never see it with our eyes, and the coon come falling out, you know. So that 15, that's probably as low as I'd go. And they lowered the price on it. You're looking, you know, everybody sells them for about the same, about $1,200. And you know, when you look at it, it's like looking at a tree with your walk lights, how I tell people, you know, you got a real wide field of view. So it's like you're illuminating the whole tree. You don't have to do a ton of scanning. That's when we started out testing. We really enjoyed it. And then we bumped up and went to the Thai Pantene 19-384. It's, you know, $1,400, so a couple $100 more for it. We found that its field of view is a little more zoomed in. So it's a little better with tops of trees. You do have to do a little more scanning. And I tell people, you know, the difference between those two right there, is like if you're going to take a picture with your cell phone, you know, when you zoom in on your cell phone, things start to get a little pixelated. When you know, that 19 kind of eliminates that pixelation and you get, you know, a more zoomed in view where you can look at the top of some of these oaks or cypress trees or big tall pines. And, that's our go-to. That's probably the best bang for your buck as far as, you know, if you're looking at a middle of the road, kind of a budget thermal that, you know, isn't $2,500 or something, that right there is a sweet spot. And then I guess, let me think for a second, a couple years ago, not this January, but last January, we went to SHOT Show in Vegas and AGM put out that Sidewinder and everybody's raving about the Sidewinder. And is that the one you have, Jason?
Yeah, that's the one I got.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly the clarity, the resolution, you know, it's spectacular. When I first saw it, I was like, this might be too zoomed in. We told people for a long time, don't buy the top end TM25-384 just because it's more expensive. Doesn't mean that it's a better thermal for you because it's almost too zoomed in. Sometimes you get in a situation where you're looking at trees and you can't step so far back. So, you know, don't get that top end model. But when the Sidewinder came in out, it has the same zoom as that almost, but the clarity resolution overweighs it. And I mean, I'm not kidding. I've looked up in trees and I can see the coon's ears and know it's a coon, as opposed to some of these other models. You can see the heat, help you find it. But that Sidewinder, I mean, you know what you're looking at. And everybody raves about that old, you know, ASP 25 model. Everybody's looking for one. You got that one. This is the best one. The Taipans aren't very good. And everybody wanted that Sidewinder is the most comparable one to it. So if you want that ASP25, you're not going to find a new one, of course. They discontinued it, but the Sidewinder is a great option. And these thermals are like lights. I could ramble on for another 2 hours, but hopefully I answered some questions.
Yeah, well, I know with my thermal that I have, it's a little bit of a learning curve to, you know, get where you can actually use it and use it, you know, like it's probably intended to be used. Because when I first got it, I had a buddy, I don't know which one he had, but he had the one that was right around $1,000, and his was, you know, way far back, and you could see the whole tree, but things wasn't real clear, and it was really hard to, you know, tell, okay, is that the coon or not the coon or what? With the one I got, you can zoom in, and I mean, you can really see him.
Oh yeah, and you know, I tell people that when they call, and there's some 80-year-old men who have bought thermals, and they probably called me on their house phone. They don't, you know, but they wanted one of these, and they ask, how hard is this thing to use? It does take a little while to get used to it and kind of figure out what you're looking at. But as far as difficulty using any of these thermals, I mean, basically you walk up to the tree, you push the power button, comes on. You got one other button you're going to hit at the tree after you get some of the settings, you know, adjusted, and that's not too hard. Anybody that has setting questions, call us. But, you know, you're hitting one button and you're scrolling through the modes. You got white hot, black hot, red hot, infusion, which is a real colorful one. But like, for example, on black hot, you know, that coon or an animal or in a tree, or, you know, we've used to scan a road, we've mounted on top of the truck, it'll really pop black. Like everything else will be kind of a whitish tint to it, but, it's really not that complicated to use. And, you know, some people think it's magic. These things aren't magic. You still have to walk around that tree sometimes like you would your lot. And get all angles of it.
Yeah.
It's not really throw it up and see it, but it is a useful tool.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't know, they may all have this feature, but I think my favorite deal is the app on the phone with the live view, where you can look at it at your phone, whatever you're pointing that thermal at.
Oh, yeah. And that's great. We actually, funny thing is, we had a tablet. I don't know. If you've seen Conky's post, you've seen Corey's truck. He's got the Tread XL in there. Half the time we got a tablet hooked in there. We're running all kinds of technology testing out. But we used to we had a young dog. We were trying to get it some hot coons, and in Florida it's kind of tough. They're all spread out. But we would they make a little mount. We mount it on top of the roof of the truck, and we'd drive down the road and hook it up to that tablet, and we'd see something in the road and dump the dog out and hope it's a coon, but. you could tell most of the time. You could tell most of the time, the kid or something like that. But I mean, it's really nice. I mean, my dad uses the thermal for hog hunting, so they sit there. They got two thermals pointing both ways. They're sitting there on their phone or tablet, looking at the screen, waiting on the hog to come out. You know, so you can use it for a lot more than coon hunting too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, it took me a little while to kind of figure out all my settings and. All my, you know, how to adjust the ring for clarity and try to get things set the way I need them. And I think me and you had some phone call conversations, try to help me out a little bit. And once I kind of got everything dialed in, and then I kind of figure out how to use the app, I just, especially if you have someone with you, like, you know, if one of my kids goes or something like that, and everybody wants to see through the thermal, you can just turn that app on your phone, hit, I think it says start live or whatever. And I mean, they can see what you're seeing.
Oh yeah, it's great. I remember sitting there talking to you, sitting on your front porch, and I believe we updated yours through the app as well. So you can actually update these thermals through the app now too.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I guess the you got anything, Brett?
Nope.
On thermals, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. You're being quiet over there.
No.
You wore out from chasing, looking for. Thunder chicken?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the other topic is tracking systems. And, you know, there's two that automatically come to mind, you know, whenever you say tracking system is Garmin or Dogtra. There is a third one, but I can't even think of the name of it. Maybe you do know, Zach, but I couldn't even – I asked Brett, me and him, either one
could
think what it was called.
Sport Dog, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, those two you mentioned, Dogtra and Garmin, those are the two we sell. And you know, we, like you said, you're on our website. We sell a ton of different stuff, but as far as the tracking system go, you know, ease of use, warranty, you know, we sell people that stand behind their stuff, and Garmin and Dogtra, you know, those are the two big ones. And it's really a preference thing as well, especially for coon hunting. I'll say this up front, as far as Dogtra goes, I wouldn't recommend it for like deer hunters or something like that. It's a little more difficult to correct your dogs and tone your dogs because you're doing it from your phone. You don't have hard buttons you can kind of go through and press. But you know, benefits of the Dogtra. I'll start with Dogtra if you're all good with that. You know, the mapping on it, everybody raves about the mapping. It's impressive. The Pathfinder 2, you know, anything on your phone screen is going to be better than a handheld. Your phone's got a much better screen than a, you know, a handheld they built and sell you. So, I really enjoyed the Dogtra. I think that what we're seeing now with the Dogtra is a lot of people are buying it for competition hunting. And the main reason, there's two main reasons for it, I believe. The mapping is so good, and then their track only collars on that Pathfinder 2 have bark detection. So people like that in a hunt, having that, you know, your dog gets out of pocket, you still know they're barking. You can go back and watch the replays of it. It's just the collars that Dogtra has put out there, they're really nicely built. So they're pretty tough. We really don't have a lot of, you know, damaged GPS antennas and stuff like that on Dogtra collars. When they first came out, just like anything, had some issues. Dogtra was really good about, you know, correcting with the updates and putting out new collars. And the warranty on it is, you know, they give you a year warranty, and even after that, you know, they'll take care of you the best they can. But, yeah. You know, I think UKC, I believe that Dogtra is one of their main sponsors. So if that tells you anything, you know, they're really invested in coon hunting. So, and then, you know, Garmin, that's the other one we sell, of course. Everybody knows something about Garmin. Everybody has a different opinion on it, but, they're moved. I truly believe the latest handheld they put out, the Alpha 300 and the TT25 cars and the T20 cars, I believe they're in the right direction. Couple things on them, you know, the Alpha 300, it's got 55 hours of battery life. I was talking about being terrible about charging my stuff. I can literally hunt all week on one charge with that handheld and the collars, the new technology. So that's great. The screen is a little better. It's not, you know, the maps are not going to look like that Dogtra because it's not on your phone, but the mapping's better. The screen's a little brighter. You know, on some of the other ones, the Alpha 200, a little bit laggy sometimes. You're moving the maps around, you don't get any of that with the 300. They rebuilt the inside of it. One of the best things they did, they got something, it's called Channel View. This is the last thing I'll say, but I'm gonna move on because I could talk about all this stuff too. But Channel View, like if you get to a competition hunt and you got somebody, you know, you're getting interference before you even turn out your dogs, it's made it easy where you can find an open channel, put that collar in, and right before you cut the dog loose, you're not gonna have any kind of a interference. And it's great for guys that hunt pack dogs too, you know, beagles and deer dogs, bear dogs, all that kind of thing. So the handheld, really solid. The new collars they come out with, you know, the TT25, I know there's some issues with bark detection. We're aware of it. Garmin's very aware of it. They're going to fix it with an update, I believe. Some are working perfectly. Some are having some issues. I'm telling people just hang tight. But as far as the collar goes, it's got 68 hours of battery life, which is excellent. They made it smaller, like the mini, the part that holds the battery and shocks is small, lightweight on your dog's neck, which is nice, especially if you're putting them in the woods for hours at a time. And then the most fragile part of any tracking collar ever is that rubber piece that runs up the side that protects that GPS antenna. What they've done, and this is the best thing they've ever done, they made it to where, you know, in the past you have a TT15 collar or something like that, and it gets cut or yanked or deteriorates over time. You'd have to send in the Garmin or send it to somebody like us to repair it. Now it's a $50 part you can change out with two screws. So these collars should last you longer. but they've really done a good job. And both Dogtra and Garmin, they give us flexibility, and we're blessed. We do sell a lot of this stuff, and they give you flexibility to, you know, if you got problems with it, it'll be taken care of. So, I don't think you can go wrong with either. A couple questions to ask yourself, just like anything else, what's right for me. It's really not about what's better. You know, if you hunt with a lot of people that have Garmin, you got to think about that. You know, do I want them to track my dogs? Do I want to be able to track their dogs? If you got a Dogtra and all your hunting buddies have a Garmin or vice versa, you're going to be kind of out there by yourself. So things to think about, but both great systems.
So whenever people are saying they're losing their dog, losing, like the collars are dropping, I mostly hear it on Garmin stuff. Is it generally because of the interference thing you were talking about?
It could be a number of things, and it's actually crazy. And this has always been a thing too. I had a customer call me, I guess it was like last week, and he's like, I keep dropping dogs. I'm like, did you get a new hunting light? People don't realize all this stuff interferes with, and you know, he's got his light on looking at his Garmin, turns his light off, and his dogs come right back. So it could be something simple like that. The biggest thing we run into, and I know customers call us and they call Garmin, they get frustrated because the first thing when they call, you know, me and Corey, we sit there on the phone with so many people every day about problems with Garmins that, you know, I'm not going to say, I think you called us experts. I'm not going to say we're experts. We know a little about them, but, you know, the biggest thing is update. The new stuff, I didn't even mention this, but all the new stuff like the Alpha 300, the 200, and the new TT25 cars and T20 cars, you can update over your Wi-Fi. So you hook those collars up to your Wi-Fi one time. Every time you throw them on a charger at your house where your Wi-Fi is, it'll automatically update. But people will call, and, you know, 75% of the time it's an update issue if there's not any kind of damage to the collar. So, if you're having dogs dropping, you know, if you got older collars, if you got the new collars, if you got the older collars, plug them in your computer, get on, you know, Web Updater or Garmin Express, update them. And most of the time you will see an improvement. And then the new stuff, it's so simple to update. And everything requires an update now. I mean, your cell phone does, even your TV you're watching. Most of these smart TVs require updates. Yeah. So we do see a lot of that. We take an astronomical amount of phone calls, you know, every day, every week about the same kind of interference issues. And then people get online, and you're talking about people asking questions. People get online, and they trash all this stuff. And, you know, really, are you doing your part? It's a big question. Are you updating your stuff? If you're not up to date, then you're not, you know, it's like doing an oil change on your hunt truck. You don't change oil and you don't put gas in it, I mean, you're not going to get much out of it. So, you know, if you do your due diligence, you're probably going to have a better experience.
Yeah. Well, I'm still primarily running the first generation Dogtra. I do have a Garmin too, but I primarily run the Dogtra because like you said, I like the maps on it.
Mm-hmm. And if
I go out of state, I don't have to worry about, do I got a map card or do I got that area downloaded?
That's right. That's right. And that's another thing on Dogtra. You know, you got automatic maps. People still look for those Pathfinder 1 collars. They're getting harder to find. I do know where some new ones are, but they're kind of going by the wayside too. But, the mapping, yeah, you travel around and do all this stuff. You know, the map card with Garmin, it's kind of frustrating. I was trying to be cheap and not even buy a map card. I was trying to download when I had a 200. And I just, you know, the more you download, the more space it fills up. Finally, I just broke down and bought a map card. So you do have an advantage as far as the Dogtra, as far as mapping too. You're always going to have that satellite map as long as you have a little bit of service.
Didn't Garmin change that where you can't download no more? Is that right?
No, you can, and that's a confusing thing. So they came out with Outdoor Maps Plus, which is a subscription-based mapping service. It's like $60 a year, but you can actually go in there and download. You can download Bird's Eye for free, just like you could on the 200. On the 100, maybe that's what you're talking about. On the 100, you can't do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the 200 and 300, you can go in there and download maps. You can't download, like, a whole state, but, you know, you can download 5 mile radius. It might take 20 minutes to download, but you know, that's kind of the download, and the map card's still the king. I'll say that as far as Garmin goes, map card's still the king. you want good mapping, you want a big area covered, that's the way to do it.
I'm glad you mentioned something earlier about the coon hunting, about the lights interfering with the collars. I thought I was losing my mind several times.
Oh, it's crazy.
I'd been down to put my dog my collar on my dog, and I'd get down there to have my light on, and I thought, is my light flashing? And then I'd really concentrate, and it wouldn't do nothing. And then I'd go to buckling it back on, moving it around there, adjusting it, getting on. My light's flashing. I tell you what, I messed with that for several months, and I was like, there's some interference going on here or something. I'm glad you mentioned that, because
I thought I
was kind of losing it.
Crazy when people call and they have interference. I ask them a couple questions. I say, "Did you get a new hunting truck?" Because sometimes your Bluetooth truck will mess with it, or sometimes your radio. But I'll forget sometimes, and I'll be like, "Corey, I'm not tracking these dogs," and we hunt together all the time. He'll say, "Turn your light off." I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's true."
Yeah.
So, have you had any experience with the sport dog tracking, or no? I don't know anything about it.
I have not, to be honest with you. It's you know, in the past, and I'm talking a long time ago, we did sell some of that stuff. But if you're wanting something that's going to stand the test of time, and I'm not going to trash sport dog, they're very affordable. There are people that use it and love it. A lot of the guys in the, that have bird dogs and retrieving dogs and things like that, it's great for them.
Okay.
But if you got a hound ranging out, a mile or plus, and you're hunting hard all the time, or you're wanting something very reliable that you got a good warranty on, their warranty may be pretty good, I'm not 100% sure, but Garmin dogs are it. But there's people that have come and gone and tried to come out with stuff like Garmin and Dogtra has, but they're top of the food chain, really.
Yeah, I remember there was that's the company you was trying to think of that come out with a like Dogtra on your phone. It's been probably four or 5 years ago. I can't think of that company either. I wasn't even sure if they were still around or not. But
I'm sitting here in my guest bedroom right now talking to you, and I'm looking at five or six boxes. But it was the Omni Tracker, I believe, is what you're talking about.
I think that's it.
And actually, they gave it to me as a joke. I said, I'll sell these things. And I got home and I got on the app, and it's like discontinued. You can't download the app.
Oh my goodness.
It was a great idea, and actually the collars that they had were as nice as any collars out there. I mean, they are tough looking. So I do have these for sale if anybody wants them. They don't look cool. But they do look cool, but I'm sitting here looking at them right now, so yeah.
They can put them on their dog and just let it run around the yard and look at it and see how cool they look.
Yeah.
Yeah, great dummy collar, but yeah, it's coming gone.
Well, I think you kind of shed some light on a lot of subjects there, and maybe help answer some questions for some people. I don't want to keep you no longer than we have to. I'm sure you're ready to rub some aloe on that sunburn.
Yeah, I've been hunting tonight all the time, and then I go out and try to play some golf, and I don't know what I was thinking. I forgot the Florida sun is brutal, and I've got a really nice tan I'm going to go to work tomorrow with. But.
Well, we won't hold you up. We're going to keep this one short. We're going to get up and chase some turkeys in the morning, hopefully. So
I'm actually been thinking more about that ribeye you got in there on me.
Yeah, we're going to go eat. We haven't eaten, but we're going to go eat, and then we're going to talk about chasing a turkey in the morning.
Good deal. I hope y'all find all the turkeys you can handle.
Yeah. Well, Zach, thank you for joining us. Anybody looking for anything, Conkey's Outdoors is where you can find it. Need help, Corey or Zach can help you out. They've helped me. So, Zach, thanks for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. All right. So we're talking about coon hunting lights, tracking systems, and thermals tonight. Big topic on Facebook all the time. What's the best coon hunting light? What say you, big money?
You hear me in there, Judge?
I got you.
All right.
But I don't know if I can see you. I don't know what kind of light you're using.
Oh, I'll shine it in your lookers if you want me to. You'll know what it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Laser torch.
How long have you used that?
Well, if I would have kept using the one I'm not the type of guy just to buy a new light like you.
I mean,
you say you called me big money or whatever. You buy a new light every time a new one comes out. You got to have the next greatest light. You don't have to do that with laser torches.
Oh yeah, I haven't got a new one in a little bit.
Well, you was talking about getting a new one.
I am.
Your other one tore up?
No, not exactly.
You just want a new light.
New technology out.
New technology, yeah. You do got a point there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if it ain't broke.
If that's the case, I got a Prowler belt light up there I could still be wearing.
No. Yeah, we're too far ahead.
It still works. I can put it on charge. It'll charge up, man, and it'll work right now. 5,100 heads, you can shine all the coons you want to with it.
So you asked me, you want to know how long I've had it? I don't know. I've got two of them.
Well, why'd you get two?
Well, they had an upgrade from the one before. No, I'll tell you exactly why, if you know the truth. I'll be a little specific on it. I don't know how long it's been since I bought that first one, but for all you laser torch fans out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you've never had a laser torch, you won't know this, but they had a couple of models, I think probably some of their first entry-level models. They just had a high and low. There was no color on them or nothing, you know what I mean? So for a coon hunter, they are worthless, in my opinion. But what got me on to, I'm getting to that question here. Be patient.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my cousin Russ Jones, he had got these lights, and I said, what? This has been, golly, I don't know how many years, a long time. Maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I don't know. And I was like, never even heard of them. He goes, oh, yeah, he said, they just got a high and low. He said, there's no color on them or nothing. But boy, he said, they're tough as nails. And I said, how long you had them? He said, 6 months. And I said, well, if you've had them 6 months, probably the toughest light ever built, ever. Any lights.
He's rough on a lot.
Oh, that guy, I could tear up a... Oh, he's something. So I thought, well, if I'm going to get a dependable light, then this is what I need to be looking into. So when I contacted them, they said, yeah, they have this one. It's what was that thing called? Laser Torch Pro Color. And... anyway, switch on the battery pack. You know, I'll tell you something about them. They got that pouch on the back. They don't have that big, you know, it's like a big boat battery back there on your back of your head and their plastic boxes. Uh-huh. They got that nice little pouch, you know, and just, you don't even know what's back there hardly. You those others with them plastic boxes, and you shine a tree and you catch that box on the back of your collar or on your hoodie or whatever, and it pushes your light off your head. You know, you've had it happen. You're sitting over there smiling. You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, that laser torch Pro Color, yeah, they had their walk light. It had a halo in it. And have you ever seen it?
I don't guess so.
That was my first light, and that's not the one I'm using. I still got that sucker. You can't tear it up. But it's got a halo in it, and all these laser torch guys that are listening to this, they know what I'm talking about. So it's got a ring, so it's a dark spot in the middle, and then it's got this big ring around it. So it kind of looks like an eclipse. Like,
oh, God.
Well, no, it's got this dark spot in the middle, for real. And on the walk light, it's real bright. And it floods out, but it's got this dark spot in the middle. And then the colors, the amber and the red, it's got a dark spot in the middle, too. And it's got this big halo. And anyways, when I talked to, I think that was back when Bobby Barber started with David Morgan on, the owners on it. David, I think I talked to Bobby on it. And I said, why in the world do you know, I wasn't sure about that spot in the middle. And, anyways, I guess it was the bulb. But anyways, he said, son, you'll be amazed how many coons you'll find with that. And I said, well, I don't know why. What would that make any difference? And he said, when you're shining a tree and you got that red light on and you're squalling, and he said, it covers up and it puts a dark spot on that tree. And as you move it around, them coons may not want, they won't look because that light's not right on them right there. But when you move, that edge of that halo will catch them coons when they look. And I kind of thought, oh, he's just telling me this because he knows I don't like the halo, you know, and probably thought I was going to send the light back. But he was right. I'm telling you what, I found a pile of coons with that. And I do think it was that light, the halo on the edge. It's hard to describe. You're looking at me like you don't get it. Do you get it or not?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
But you got to move it. So when you move it a lot, yeah. And it worked. It really did. So anyways, so I got the next light because it didn't have a halo and it was lighter weight. That first head was a big old heavy head on the front. And real tough and dependable, but they came out with that new one. I think it's called a flamethrower ultra light, and it's got a smaller head on it. It's got color. It's got amber and red. I love their walk light. It's got a big flood walk light on the front of it. But anyways, I guess I'm the only guy in the world around here that uses laser torch besides me and Russ. I don't know. No, Colton's got one.
What about Chops?
Chops has got a sunspot. He's got like four of them. And I think you got like three or four of them. I really only need one laser torch. And if you buy a laser torch, you really don't need to buy another one.
Or if they have an upgrade.
Well, if you want to buy the upgrade, you can. Like my other light, it won't quit. I can go grab it right now and turn it. It's my spare light. So I wanted a spare, too. I wanted a backup.
Well, that's me. I got a backup.
But you got a backup for a backup for a backup for a backup.
Well, that's where I got my lawnmowers, too.
And plus, I've always thought that the only people that wear sunspots are Walker Dog men. So oh, that's another reason why.
Here we go.
Dodge trucks.
Michael, don't even listen to this, Michael.
Sunspot lights, Walker Dogs, and Dodge trucks.
Oh.
And I never have cared for Walker Dogs. I don't like Dodge.
No.
And so, I don't know, it just...
My one sunspot, I actually bought it used first from a guy in Kansas, I think. And I don't know how old it is, but it still works. It's still a good one. That's the one that Shug wears whenever we go. She goes with me.
They do get a different color to them.
Yeah. They have the old 5100 head that had the kind of a yellowish-looking, natural moon-looking color.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the color they have. So she uses that one, and then I got the Viper Pro when it come out for me, and that's the one I'm using currently. And then I think Johnny Dalton was running some type of special on one of those snipers that was on sale, and it's a smaller, like I guess for sunspot would be their entry level light.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it. I just use it around here just for whatever.
Power doing gun. Chores and whatever.
Yeah. And it's a good light. You could use it to coon hunt with. And we've actually took it for, like, when I carry an extra kit or whatever. That's one reason I wanted more than one or two lights. Is because, you know, the kids would bring an extra buddy with them or whatever. I'll have a light for somebody to use. So, I got that one. But I think I'm going to get the Copperhead, too.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good, man, they're great lights. And they stand behind them. Yeah. Lifetime warranty.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. I'm just a laser torch guy. I mean, when I get something I like, I just stick with it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with them. I don't know if they got a lifetime warranty or not. I really don't even know if I need the warranty with them.
Here we go.
they're so dependable, it's unreal. I'm just telling you how it is. I'll tell you, years and years ago when they come out them lighter box lights before they come out the belt light, I've still got a Bright Eyes. And did I tell you I was doing some organization and stuff and cleaning some stuff up in all my hunting gear, and I ran across that light, and I told you, didn't I?
You said it's a box light with a short cord?
Yeah, it's a box light with, a cord on it.
Oh, you just like stick it in your pocket and lay it over
your shoulder? No, I had a helmet with it, but I never did like wearing that cord around my neck. I liked the helmet. But anyways, I had a cord on it. And I've had that thing for 22 years, maybe. I had the old belt. For real, I turned it on. It came on. Really? And I've got the charger to it, Jack. So I was like, I hollered at my wife from the spare bedroom back there. I said, you ain't going to believe this. This Bright Eyes light I've had forever. This thing works. Kid you not. I put it on charge, charged it. Went out there and was going to do a funny video about this new light I bought. And I didn't really like how the video turned out, so I didn't send that or share it. Definitely wasn't going to send it and share it to you. You throwed that thing. Oh, there's no telling what you'd have done with that thing.
Well, you should have took at least take a picture of it and sent it to Ray Conrad.
You'd have made sport.
He'd probably like to see it.
You'd have made sport of me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We could use it for sucker grabbing.
I can make a video and send it to Ray.
He'd probably like to see it.
Yeah, he probably would. Especially that thing's probably worth a lot of money. I could probably trade that in on a new one.
He might.
Yeah.
He might have like a...
I can't remember if it's a Predator or what.
History of lights somewhere in his shop. He might be missing one.
I think it was a Predator. No, I forget what they called that model. It was red.
I don't know. I never had anything but I had a wheat light that you put acid in, and then we stepped up to a jail cell battery.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were in high cotton when we went to that.
That was the big red boxes. They were pretty heavy, too.
Yeah, you know, they were...
Oh, yeah.
About like a book, you know, thick.
Can you believe we hunted with those things?
Yeah, I found a bunch of coons with them.
And then I know, but man.
Then I saved up and I bought the Prowler with the blue battery that has the external spotlight on it. You know, you got to have that.
Oh, if you had that spotlight, you was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You was something else.
They'd say, oh, is that a coon up there? I can't quite see. Boy, I'd be getting that spotlight out. Yeah, you better not run it very long, though.
There he is, boy.
Yeah. You better cut that sucker off. The only problem with it is when you'd be walking through the woods, every once in a while you'd bump something and hit that button and it'd come on your side and you'd be walking, especially in summertime, all of a sudden you feel this heat on the side of it.
Oh, man.
So, anyway. All right, so I'm Sunspot. That's probably what I'll use from now on is Sunspot, unless somebody wants to sponsor this podcast and send us some lights. And we'll talk about using something else.
But I'll tell you what, they'll have a hard time getting me.
If Michael wants to sponsor the podcast, just score on and send some lights, and I'll get Brett converted.
I don't know. It'd take a lot to get me to wear something besides a laser torch. But I ain't never been left in the dark with them things.
I had never with my sunspots.
I was with a guy one night and had one quit him. I ain't going to say who it is.
He should have sent it back to Michael. They would have fixed it for him.
I think they did.
Oh.
I don't know that it... I think it was operator error. I think it never got charged.
Oh, well, that could be it. That could be it.
I'll tell you something that people complain about is the helmets.
Yeah, and I will say this. Whenever I do, because I'm probably going to order the Copperhead, no joke, at some point.
Oh, I believe you.
But when I do, I think I'm going to go to the ball cap instead of the bump helmet.
I tried that ball cap thing.
I had one before, and I liked it.
You didn't, boy, it didn't just sweat. Things don't breathe. They don't.
I sweat anyway, so it don't matter. I got the helmet that Shook wears, I got holes drilled all in it.
Yeah, on the sides.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually like that light. That's the Extreme Rage light. And I like it because it has amber.
I ain't never heard of those. Who makes them?
Sunspot.
Oh.
Sunspot Extreme Rage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have nothing but Sunspot.
Oh, yeah, I
Sunspot
forgot.
Or Viper. I mean, Prowler.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
But it has the reds and it has the amber. When they come out with the Viper Pro, it only had the reds. It didn't have the amber. But now that new Copperhead has it all. So.
I knew I was packing a good light one night when I was in a cast and I was walking along. I was like, nobody, why ain't you guys got your lights on? They was all walking with my walk light.
Well, that or they either thought y'all was trespassing.
Well, I don't know.
And they figured the only gunshot that was going to hit anybody was the one with the light on.
Maybe that's what was going on.
Y'all might have been in a low light area.
You might have been.
Yeah.
What? Do you just wear the bump cap that comes with it?
Yeah.
What kind is it? Is that Ridgeline?
I don't know what the brand is. I've never looked. That's the only thing. If somebody is out there making a light, if you got that suspension deal that goes inside the helmet that has the ratchet deal on the back,
you can buy them. Oh, you mean like an old hard hat?
Yeah.
Well, just buy you an old hard hat. Put your light on it.
Well, I may have to, but boy, I'm telling you, I've got hard hats for some of the work that we do, you know, especially on some of the government contracts we work. And, you know, they got this, you just turn that knob back there to loosen it or tighten it.
Yeah.
Man,
Just an actual hard hat.
Yeah, well, I don't. But surely they can make a suspension for a coon hunting helmet be the same way.
I don't know. They used to have them. I don't know if you remember or not. They were that model 901 coon helmet. Mm. Anyways, they don't make them like they used to. But I will say this: that Ridgeline, I've got to where I've gotten used to it now.
Yeah,
it's pretty comfortable. But those old 901s, when they quit making them, they started making them other ones that some of these guys are putting these lights on. They don't. I think that them laser torches come with that helmet that I don't like. So I just put mine on a Ridgeline, but and they're pretty comfortable. But the
maybe I'll get.
I'm my, really particular. You know them. If you're and I have trouble with them liners not staying popped in and all that.
Yeah, my extreme rage is the liner in it's about wore out.
Yeah, as soon as I get them, I JB weld.
Well, I
never
just
had trouble after that.
I actually looked around a few times on the internet looking for that style suspension to go in there with a knob, but I can't find it. But I guess I could take the hard hat that I have from it's a full brim white hard hat, mount my light on there.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so I'm Sunspot. You're what'd you say? Laser torch.
Yeah, laser torch.
Laser torch. Okay.
If you want a really dependable one that you don't have to have a lifetime warranty for.
I don't know that you need a lifetime warranty for theirs. I don't ever have any trouble. All right.
I know they're a good light.
Thermals.
They're all good.
Yeah. Thermals.
I don't have a thermal. What? I'm gonna have to get me one.
I know.
I've been talking about it pretty serious.
I know you have, but it's time. You're gonna have to break down and do it. I've got the
leaves are coming on.
AGM 25 Sidewinder. And it's a learning curve when you first get it. Kind of mess with it. I just sat out there under the back patio and cows was across the road over here and I was trying to look at cows and figure out how to use it. It's a little bit of a learning curve to use, but once I kind of got the hang of it and know how to use it, I can whip it out and adjust it pretty quick and can find a coon in the tree with it anyway.
Well, I'll have to have you or Zach set mine up then, since you're the pros.
Well, you better let Zach do it.
I need to get with him then.
Yeah. But outside of that, Mike Stepp has one. I don't know. It's a lot smaller. It's half the length of mine. It's a small little thermal that he uses. But the only difference that I can see is the picture's not as clear on it, and it's way further back.
Yours is zoomed in, like, already.
Yeah, and then you can zoom it in more.
Yeah.
So
do you wish it was not zoomed in as much right off the bat?
I did to start with because the only ones I've ever looked through was his and Garrett Miller's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way theirs was, so I thought something was wrong with mine. But it's just the way it is. And after I kind of got used to mine, then tried to use theirs, the picture's not near about as good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've had some guys in some hunts in the last 6 months or whatever that's had them, and I'll ask them something about them. They're real nice, and they're like, "Oh, here, you know, look through it, try it out," and then they'd kind of explain it to me, and I thought I'm gonna have to have one of these things.
Just get those crusty $100 bills out and spend them and buy you one.
Okay.
Chuck knows where it's at. Just ask Chuck. Yeah. He'll show you where they're at.
I'm poor as a whippoorwill. You got it all backwards.
Here we go. But outside of that, that's literally my experience with thermals. I never used any other brand, so I can't speak good, bad, and different about it. I've never had an issue with it to send it back. I had some issues when I first got it getting it set up, but Zach was able to help me get all that worked out at Conky. So, I can't really speak too much on thermals. I just don't know. I mean, I mean, my nephew's got one, but that sucker's like $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 that goes on his AR. So
you just need to borrow that from him then.
Man, it's like
every once in a while
looking at a TV screen.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, that's not comparing apples to apples to what we do. So
maybe he'll buy a new one and you can get your hands on it.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I can't really go in depth on thermals because I've not used very many of them. I just used the one I got. So, and you've not ever had one yet.
Nope.
But it's coming soon.
It's coming.
Okay. Okay.
As long as my wife don't hear this podcast first.
All right. Well, let's start down this rabbit hole and we'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah, because I'm kind of.
I know, I'm getting tired. We got to go chase these crazy birds in the morning instead of. We should be out coon hunting right now and we're getting ready to go chase chickens.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go down this rabbit hole. Tracking systems.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Tracking
system. Go ahead.
Tracking system. Interfering with your light and your microwave messing it up, but go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm a Garmin guy. And you're a Dogger guy, right?
Yeah.
I've never tried that Dogger. I don't know.
I've got both. I've got Dogger and Garmin.
Oh, that's right. You do have both. Yeah.
I've got that 430 steel with a whatever that collar is called.
Yeah. I'm not even running one of them new receivers. I don't know. What are they? What did he say they were? 300i?
Yeah, 300.
Yeah, I don't have one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually still running the Pathfinder 1 series, so I'm running the first generation series still. It's still working, no issue. I think I am going to step up to a 2 just so I can start swapping everything over and having the, because I think they're going to eventually phase the 1 out. So.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that aggravates me about Garmin. Every time you get used to one, by the time you get used to it and you're using it and everything's working right the way you want it to, then they come out with a new model and a new collar.
Yeah. Here's the truth about it. The Dogtra, I like it. I like them, and their maps are unbelievable. But if I use my phone a lot at work or whatever, then I got to make sure my phone's charged that night before I go hunting. Or if I'm going to do some training here in the yard, like tone training or whatever, mm-hmm. then during the day or whatever with puppies, then to me, sometimes I think just the handheld without having to use my phone would be better in those scenarios. But
they are.
Whatever. outside of that, when it comes to actually using it, I like it because you ain't got to worry about, do I got the map downloaded for this area? Do I got a map card for this state that I'm going to? It's all there.
Unless mine quits me, I'm good. I'm downloaded from Western Oklahoma all the way to Eastern Indiana, and I've North Carolina all the way to Georgia and Alabama. I got all that on there. I got the same thing that Dogger has.
Yeah, you don't have the same maps.
Well, it's not as probably as high quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know where he'll be.
Oh, here we go.
That treat icon will be on there if I can't hear him or he gets out of pocket or whatever. Go right to it.
But that's my biggest thing with the Dogger.
I'm not picking apples off my phone and playing Candy Crush and stuff like some humans do.
I don't be
or playing. Whatever.
I didn't even use a tracking
system. Tracking my dog.
I didn't use a tracking system until I met Mr. Wesley Good, the plot man, in Illinois. I never even used a tracking system. He had a Garmin 320 I used. So
the Astro 320?
Yeah.
Them things hardly ever messed up.
And then I went to a Dogger, and I just don't see no point. I mean, what's a Garmin now? $1,000 for the handheld?
I don't know. I ain't bought that 900? New one. They're high, yeah.
Yeah. And you can buy the whole system for Dogger for, I don't know, I think $425 or something like that.
I'd have more money in my Garmin if I bought a new one than I would my hounds.
Yeah, I would for sure at this point. So, and I can't speak on any other tracking system because I ain't used no other ones other than a Quick Track back in the day. And you just had to listen to the beep.
I still got that too. I run that as a spare.
Yeah, I don't.
Quick
have
Trap, one. Quick Trap, Quick Track.
Yeah, I don't have one
with Johnson collars, and they work.
Yeah,
they're good for a backup. I keep it in my dog box. Put that spare collar on there.
Well, I can see if he gets out of pocket or
they get in a cave or getting, I don't have any trouble with that really, but.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
Nope. All right. Done hearing about Dogger and Sunspot.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll wrap this one up. We've been rambling long enough. We'll get this one wrapped up and edited and put out there for everybody to hear. Maybe we get some feedback on it.
What's the next one? Oh, you don't tell that, do you?
I don't know. We ain't discussed that yet.
We're going to have to do some call-ins on these next ones.
Yeah.
So if you hear this and you're interested in taking a call,
yeah,
we're going to have some topics and have some call-in discussions with different people.
Yeah, shoot us a message. Maybe that guy from Indiana or whoever it was you talked to, that would be a good one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah. So if you want to hear it, stay tuned. We're going to try to get him hemmed up so we can do a podcast with him. But we're going to shut this one down because we got to go get up early in the morning and chase after her. Oh, God. Here we go. Chase after her. I thought I was done hearing about turkey. So.
No, it's just beginning.
Hopefully my daughter get one killed in the morning and then call her good.
Then you don't have to worry about it no more.
Yeah, we'll be good. So, all right. Till next time, we'll catch you here on Airways. You good?
I'm good.
All right. See you.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Coonhound Collective podcast today. We really appreciate you taking your time out of your day to listen to the podcast. If you don't mind, head over to Facebook and give us a like, and head over to Instagram and give us a follow. It's both at The Coonhound Collective. Also, if you would like to reach us here at The Coonhound Collective, you can reach us at thecoonhoundcollective@gmail.com. If there's someone that you would like to hear on the podcast or a product that you would like to hear talked about, please send it to thecoonhoundcollective@gmail.com. Thanks again. Have a great day.